Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
We've been talking about the love of God, which is a whole lot different from the love of this world, which is a selfish love. It's an all about me kind of love. We love people and love things and love chocolate because of how it all makes us feel. Right? But God's love isn't about how we feel. It's an unconditional love. It's a love that never quits, will never give up, it'll never fail. And we looked at it over in detail over in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And then, of course, last week we talked about God's love and his light and how the two work together, because a lot of times folks have the wrong idea about what love is. They think love is just, well, if we walk in love, then we're just going to be a doormat for everybody to just walk over. We're going to be a punching bag for everybody to just hit us. We're just going to take it. We're just going to sit there and just get smacked around and beat up, and we're just like victims in life. You know, that's the love of God. But no, God's love doesn't make you a victim, it makes you a victor. Isn't that right? Because love is the way to victory. And we need love in these last days, because there's a lot of darkness increasing in the land. And again, God's love works in conjunction with his light. And so I encourage you, if you didn't hear last week's message, to get it. That's a word. The one I ministered on love last Wednesday was something I've had in my heart for a long time. I've always wanted to put those two together, you know, go down 1 Corinthians 13 and put God's light right next to his love and see how they work together. So that was just very, very nice that I was able to get that out last week. So go ahead and avail yourself to the teaching through the recordings and listen to it again. Get yourself built up in that area. Now, over here in 1 John, the Apostle John he's known as just a man of love. He really matured in the love of God, and much of what he writes in his epistles deals with the love of God. Of course, it was John that seemed to be the closest disciple to Jesus. You know, there was the 12 disciples, then there was that inner circle made up of the three disciples, Peter, James, and John. And when you look at it, it just seems like John was the closest of the three. We see John leaning on Jesus at the Last Supper and asking Jesus who it was that was going to betray him. And Jesus spoke that to John, not to everybody at the table. So John had some real intimate fellowship with the Lord. He was very close to him, and he had a great understanding of the love of God. Now notice here in 1 John chapter 2, it says in verse 3, "Now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments." So commandments are still relevant for the New Testament church. I like to say that because there's a lot of folks that treat the word commandment almost like it's a curse word under the new covenant. But no, it's not a curse word. It's a Bible, New Testament word. And the Bible tells us that those that know him are those that keep his commandments. Verse 4, "He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him." So, you know, to the degree that we know the Lord, we are going to keep his commandments. Verse 5, "But whoever keeps his word," now notice he changed gears, he said keep his commandments, and then verse 5 says, "Whoever keeps his word," well, we're talking about the same thing. See, he's just flowing. This is one thought. And God's word is his commandments. God's word is not his suggestions. They're not his suggestions. They're not little supplements that we can add to our life if it seems good and fitting. When God says something, it is the truth. And it is the way it is. It's a command. Because it's faith. It's the word of faith. There's no wavering. There's no doubting. It's just, this is the way it is. So God's word is the way it is. And I like it that way. You know, you could trust it. You can build on it. You could depend on it. Because it is the way it is. It's the commands of God. So he says, whoever keeps his word, truly, the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk, just as he, Jesus, walked. So notice that he who keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. That word perfected also means fulfill in the original Greek language, which is what the New Testament was written in, means fulfill, to fulfill, or diffused throughout one's soul. Diffused throughout one's soul. God's love. How many people know God's love's been poured out into our heart by the Holy Spirit when we made Jesus the Lord of our life? Well, as we exercise our faith in that love, and as we step out and walk in the love of God, and we judge every unlovely thing in our life, because that's all a part of it. That's all a part of perfecting this love life that God has given to us. Perfecting this love walk. A part of that is confessing where we've missed it, where we didn't walk in love. If you didn't walk in love, you take responsibility for it. That's all a part of walking in the light. When you walk in the light, if you're walking in the light, you're going to see where you missed it, where you didn't walk in love. And so as a result of that, you're not going to hide it. You're not going to excuse it. You're going to confess it. And as you confess it, you're going to be forgiven. You're going to be cleansed and perfected, more perfected. That's a part of the perfecting process of God's love in your life. So we can't, you know, get into condemnation if we miss it. Praise God. You got to understand, we're a work in progress. God knew what he was getting into when he saved you. He knew there was a, you know, there was a working out this salvation. There was a growing and maturing in the love of God. He understood that. God doesn't get uptight and fall off the throne when you've missed it. So just bring it out there to him and repent of it with all confidence and courage, knowing that God forgives you, he cleanses you, and by you not hiding it but confessing it, you are being more perfected. How many people want to be perfect? Yeah, we're to be perfect just like our Father in heaven is perfect. And we do that by walking in love, living out of the love of God that's been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So here he says, whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. So when we're talking about God's love, of course, like we said, we went over to 1 Corinthians 13, the last couple services. We looked at what love looks like. But we can sum it up this way and say, God's love is keeping his word. Keeping his word. If we keep God's word, we're walking in love. And if we're walking in love, we're keeping his word. So keeping his word is the most lovely thing you can do. It isn't necessarily hugging somebody and saying, I love you. Huh? It isn't necessarily giving somebody, you know, something, a gift or something like that and saying, I love you. That's good. But number one, it's your obedience to the word of God. The greatest thing you can do for people is walk in love for yourself. Walk in love for yourself. Greatest thing you can do for your family, greatest thing you can do for your enemies, greatest thing you can do for people. And again, love is all about helping people, right? Love is all about blessing others, being a blessing to others. Well, be obedient to God. Even when it looks like you're going to offend people, even when it looks like it's going to go against what people would have you to do. Family members, oh, don't go to that church. Oh, you do this or do that. You're going to follow God. And by obeying him, following him, you're walking in love towards them, even though they might take it at first as you are rejecting them. But no, you're just following, you're just obeying God. The worst thing you can do for people is compromise your faith in God's word to help them. Because that's not love. Love will never do that. Love will never violate the word of God. Never do that. So sometimes, you know, they, well, you know, I love them and I want to help them and I want to be there for them and I want obey God. And if what you're doing goes against what God is telling you to do, then you're really just worried about yourself and how those people are going to perceive you. They're going to think I don't care about them, so I need to do this. Well, you need to do the right thing. And by doing the right thing, you're giving God the right to come into that relationship and into that situation to make things truly right. So you might do something that seems right, but it's a superficial making things right. God will make things right to the core. He'll make things totally right, truly right. If we will give him the right to come into the relationship and do his work. So we got to follow God. That's love. Obeying his word. That's love. Obeying his word. Simple as that. That's anytime you follow God and obey his word, you are walking in love. And love is the defining characteristic of a child of God. Do we have any children of God in here? It's the defining characteristic of a child of God. Remember, Jesus said that they will know, Jesus said the world, they will know that you are my disciples because you have love for one another. Because you love one another, that's how people are going to recognize you're my disciples. So if we're a disciple of him, of Christ, then love is what people should be seeing. Love for God. Love for his word. I love the truth. Hallelujah. I love the truth. I love God's way of doing things. I love his word. That's how I want to live my life. See, there's a lot of religious people, and that's what he's dealing with here in 1 John. Is that, oh, I know him. I know God. I know I sing in the choir. I know God. I teach Sunday school at my church. Oh, I know God, I know God. And they don't walk in the love of God. They don't love God because you could see it in the way they treat the word and the way they obey or not obey the word of God. So they'll know because you obey the word. They'll know you have love, and love will cause them to know that you're his disciple. Love is the leading characteristic of a true child of God. And then notice this in chapter 2. He goes on, and it says in verse 8, again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away, and the true light is already shining. How many people know what that new commandment is? Now, Jesus tells us what the new commandment is. He says, I give you a new commandment, which is what? To love, right? To love your neighbor as yourself. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Because if you're walking in love, man, you're going to fulfill all the law and all the commandments. You're going to be a doer of the word of God if you're walking in love. So that's the new commandment. So notice again, verse 8, again, a new commandment I write to you, which we know is love. Which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Now, that's some good news right there. The darkness is passing away. Sometimes it feels like the darkness is mounting up strength, right? Sometimes it seems like the darkness is increasing. It's getting crazier. It's getting dark. Sometimes it looks like darkness is just taking over this thing. But the word gives us some inside information of what's really going on. And he said the darkness is passing away. It's fading out. It's passing away. You know, when somebody passes away, it's a nice way of saying they died. The darkness is dying. And we're talking about, of course, not literally dark, natural darkness. We're talking about spiritual darkness. Demons, devils, the powers of darkness. They're dying. What do you mean? They're on their last leg. Oh, yeah. Devil's hopping around on his last leg. And when, man, the devil gets, he's just hopping around on one leg. He's on his last leg. That's when I want to come around and do a back sweeping and knock out that leg and just end it. Just end it. It's almost over. It's almost over. For the church, we've only just begun to live. That's for the church. For the devil, it's just about over. You're dead. It's almost over for the devil. He's passing away. What do you mean he's on his deathbed? He's on his deathbed. He's passing away. What do you mean? He's weak. He's in a weakened condition. Come on. He was passing away then. How much more is he? he's almost completely done. And we've only just begun to live. That's good news, isn't it? That's why we got to walk by faith and not by sight. God knows what's going on. The devil's always trying to look like the church is on its last leg. The devil's always trying to make it look like he's got this place under control. He's overwhelming and overcoming everybody and everything. But no, 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 no. I'm going to say what the Bible says. Devil, you're on your last leg. You're on your way out. We're here to stay. We're here to take over this place. We are more than conquerors. We are winning. Hallelujah. And then notice this, 10 verses later, verse 18. Little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard, the Antichrist is coming. Even now, many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. Now, that sounds scary, doesn't it? The Antichrist is coming. You little children. He's coming to get the little children. It's a pretty scary verse. We're just a bunch of little children, and the Antichrist is coming. What a thing to tell little children. Little children, the Antichrist is coming. Right? So it's make you just have a cry. Even now, little children. Many Antichrists have come, by which we know it is the last hour. The last hour. That don't sound good either. My God, it's our last hour. Antichrist is coming. He's taking over the place. Well, that's why he put verse 8 before he said verse 18. See, if you just read verse 18, it's pretty scary. What's coming is really bad. But if you go back to verse 8, then we have a better understanding of what's going on. Verse 8 lets us know that the devil's on his last leg. The darkness is passing away. It's on its way out. Verse 18 says the Antichrist is coming. He's coming in. And notice it says, by which we know. When we see a lot of antichrists, when we see a lot of people yielding to an antichrist spirit, and it seems like the antichrist spirit is just multiplying, and they're coming out of the woodwork, and they're getting crazy. He says, when you see that, by that, you know that it's the last hour. What do you mean? Well, verse 8, it's the last hour for the devil. It's darkness's last hour. Why? Because it's on the way out. Darkness is on the way out. Darkness is passing away. Darkness is about dead. It's dying. And so here comes the Antichrist as a sign of what's happening to the darkness. The Antichrist coming, these many Antichrists coming, which means a lot of people that are against Christ. A lot of people rising up against Christ. Against what God, how God would have things be. A lot of folks rising up in the earth against Christ. He says, that's to let you know darkness is on the way out. And what's happening is that the spirit of Antichrist that's been in these people all along is now manifesting himself for what these people really are. Children of darkness. Children of an antichrist spirit. And when they see that they're on the way out, when the darkness in them knows it's almost over and they feel their end coming, what happens? They go into panic and they can't help but start manifesting. And all of a sudden, it seems like there's many, many, many antichrists. They've always been there. But now you're seeing them. They're being made manifest because the darkness in them is passing away and panicking. So when you see the wicked getting all worked up, get excited. Because the spirit in them knows he has but a short time left, like about an hour. He's minutes away from expiring. Come on, somebody. Notice he goes on. Verse 19. They went out from us, these many antichrists. They went out from us. Went out from what? Went out from the church. Went out from appearing to be just like us. They went out from us, but they were not of us. Oh, they could talk Christian talk, and they can talk like they're godly people and religious people. But he says, but no, they went out. They went out from us, but they were not of us. They never were. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. So they all along, they weren't of us. They acted like they were for us. They acted like they were pro-church, right? Pro-Israel, pro-this, pro-God, pro-righteousness, pro-light, pro-love. They acted like they were all these things, but all along they weren't. And now that the darkness is passing away, all of a sudden, they're coming out of the closets. They're coming out of the woodwork. They're manifesting. They're manifesting. They're manifesting the darkness that's in them. So the point is that when you see the world appearing to get worse and it looks like there's more antichrist today than there ever has been, when it looks like society has really just gone out of its mind and people are going crazy and oh, it looks like terrible things are happening, get excited. It's darkness having a panic attack through those people because it knows things are happening to drive it out and cause it to pass away. So he goes on and he says again, you, verse 20, you have an anointing from the Holy One and you know all things. Well, this anointing is on the inside of us. Verse 27, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. And you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide or continue in him. So notice that. You have an anointing in you to help you through these times where there are many antichrists coming on the scene, many people against Christ. You have an anointing. Well, that anointing is in you. Of course, it's the Holy Spirit. And again, Romans 5:5 says, the love of God has been poured out into your heart by the Holy Spirit. So you got love on the inside of you. Love is in you. It's an anointing on the inside of you that you have, and it teaches you. It teaches you what's going on. It teaches you how to act and what to do in what appears to be exceedingly wicked times. Regardless of how things get outwardly, we got the love of God to guide us inwardly. God's love on the inside of us will help us through anything in life. And again, love will lead us into the victory. It'll lead us into the victory. Can you say amen? So they're going out from us as a result of what was going on in them. They're going out as a result of what was really going on. So we can't get upset when we see people manifesting darkness. You know, you can't even get upset at yourself if you manifest some things that aren't good. Because that's a good thing. That means the darkness is passing away in your life. And the light is shining. The true light of God is shining. And it's causing those things to come out so that you can confess it and be rid of it. Right? That's why there are situations and people in life that seem to bring the worst out of you. Have you know what I'm talking about? But the people, the best people in your life are the people that bring the worst out of you. Because you want it out of you. Right? You don't want darkness in you. You don't want bad things in you. So thank God for people that bring bad things out. It shows up that there's something bad in there. See, they didn't put the bad thing in there. See, they came along and you went, ah! Ah! Well, they didn't put themselves in you. They just showed up what was in you. Isn't that good? Thank God for trials and tests. They're the best. Praise God. Helps us to get clean. Helps us to get free. Praise God of all the darkness, doubt, unbelief, fear, anxiety, and every other kind of wicked, perverted, evil thing. Thank God we can be clean and be perfected in this thing called love. Don't you want to grow in love? Thank God we can. As the darkness is passing away, the darkness in people comes to light. It is made manifest. Of course, that makes sense, right? As the darkness is passing away, as the darkness is going, more light is shining. And the more light is shining, the more it's showing up the darkness that remains. Shows it up, exposes it, makes it manifest so that we can walk in freedom. So we're not afraid. Thank God for the Bible to let us know what's going on. When we see darkness rising on the scene, we understand it's just another sign of victory. Just another sign of victory. You know, I think of over there, Revelations chapter 12. You know, it talks about the devil. Revelations, the 12th chapter. Notice this here in verse 12. It says, therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath. Because, why? Because he knows that he has a short time. It's the last hour. He's on his last leg. He's passing away. Let me tell you something. The angrier the devil gets, the more of a sign it is to us of the closer he is to his end. And the devil has an end. Aren't you going to have to deal with him for the eternity? It's just a little vapor of a time that we got to deal with the devil. But he's on the way out. He's on the way out. I said the devil's on the way out. Now we know ultimately he's going to be thrown into the lake of fire. Now that might not happen for another 1,000 years. But his influence is getting weaker in our life. His influence is getting weaker. Why? Because the light is shining, it's getting brighter, and he's passing away. He's passing off the scene. Now, he'll never be completely gone until he is thrown in the lake of fire. But he's losing. He's losing. And the more of a panic he gets in, and the more he tries to stir up trouble for you, the more a sign of it is, more of a sign that is, that he is just about completely lost you. He's losing you. You don't like it. He's losing his ability to influence your life. He's losing his ability to mess up your life. He's losing a grip on you. He is getting weaker. He's passing away. Can you say amen? And so you can understand why he would panic. It's a terrible thing. I'd almost feel sorry for him if I didn't dislike him so much. Notice here in 1 John chapter 2, verse 22, he says, "Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ?" He is Antichrist, who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father. Notice again verse 22, he says, "Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ?" Denying Jesus is the Christ doesn't have to be done verbally. People can testify that Jesus is the Christ with their mouths, but how they live their life can deny that he's the Christ. And we see that in Titus chapter 1 in verse 16. Titus 1:16 says, "They profess to know God." So they actually profess to know God, "but in works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work." You know, I've been amazed how many people just accept what people say. They just take what people say as that's the way it is. Even though their lifestyle, the way they live, what they approve of, and the things they do in life is completely contrary to what they say. They profess Christ, but they live completely contrary to him. So even though they're professing Christ, if they're living contrary to him, if they're living abominable and disobedient to his word, well, then they're denying him with their actions. And you've heard the saying, actions speak louder than words. Well, here, really, that's what it's saying. They're saying one thing, but they're doing something else. Oh, yes, I believe in Christ. But in their actions, they're denying him. They're denying him. And so that's what God goes by. When people stand before him on judgment day, it's what did they do with what they said they believed. What you practice is who you are. What you practice is who you are. Not so much what you say. Now, what you say is important. We know how important words are. I mean, God created the worlds through his word. We understand that. But what you're actually practicing in life speaks more about you than what you're telling everybody, or what other people are telling us about them. What are you practicing? And again, notice the word practice. Practice. Everybody say practice. Why do baseball players practice? To perfect their skills. Right? So the fact that they're practicing tells us that they're not perfect yet. So when we're talking about practicing righteousness, practicing Christ, practicing obedience to God, because that's what we're doing, we are working at becoming skillful at the Word of God. We are working at being skillful at walking in the love of God, yielding to the love of God. We're practicing becoming skillful at walking like Jesus walked. And we understand practice makes perfect, but we understand we're practicing. And sometimes while we're practicing, we swing and miss. And you know, the word sin, when you look it up, means to miss the mark. To miss the mark. But that's all right. We don't get, I mean, a baseball player doesn't throw his bat down. At least he shouldn't. You know, if he misses, if he strikes out, he throws the bat on the ground, kicks the dirt, throws off his cap, and walks up the field and says, I'm done with this. I just can't do it. I just can't do it. Is that what he does? No, he walks off the field, spits, that's what they usually do, and looks to next time, to get back up there and do it again. Right? He's practicing. He's practicing. He's patient with himself. Talking about the ball player. He understands he's a work in progress. He understands, I'm going to get this thing. He's working at this thing. And if he swings and misses, he'll get back up there again next time. And he'll... He doesn't just throw in the towel. We got to understand that about ourselves. We are practicing. We're practicing. We're practicing this love walk. And in walking in love, we may stumble. We might even fall. I'm not saying you should. Thank God we don't have to. We can walk even as Jesus walked. He never, didn't we just read that? He never stumbled. He never fell. 2 Peter chapter 1 says that if we'll grow in the virtues of Christ, we will never stumble. I like that. I like that. Don't you want to get there? Never stumble. Well, we're practicing. We're practicing that. And again, when you're never stumbling, it's quite obvious the devil's as good as dead in your life. He might not be dead, but he's as good as dead. Because you don't yield to him anymore. You're walking in such light, and you've mastered the love walk. You're walking like Jesus walked. And praise God, you're not stumbling. You're far from falling. And you're just able to go through your day just perfect, following God. See, we need to hear that time and time again to get that vision out in front of us, because that's what we're shooting for. And we can get there. Because we've got a great coach. We got the Holy Spirit. He is our coach. He's our trainer. And he's supplying us with the ability to walk victoriously. To live as more than conquerors. But you know, a big part of walking in victory is having the proper or biblical perspective of yourself. You're not a victim. The devil's under your feet. Soon the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet. That's what the Bible says. He will soon crush him under your feet. See, he's under our feet. And notice what it says. That the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. Why does it say the God of peace? Because it's talking about you growing in the God of peace. Growing in the peace of God so that God's peace is so strong on you. So heavy on you. You got such peace. It's heavy. It's a good heavy. It's a good heavy. It gets so heavy, and Satan just says something. He goes, hey. Hey, look over here. Follow this. Your answer's over here. And you got such peace, you just... under your feet. Just crush him. Hallelujah. You'll find as you're growing in the peace of God, there'll be times you'll hear things cracking. You will. You'll hear things cracking. It's just, sometimes I'll go along in life and I hear, it's like, oh, wow. That must have hurt the devil. I'm getting too heavy for him. That's the perspective you have to have. That's the perspective you have to have. He's under your feet. You're more than a conqueror. He's passing away. He's on his deathbed. He's dying. You're not. He'll try to tell you sometimes you're dying. Try to make you feel sick. Make you feel like you're dying. You say, no, devil, you're the one dying. Right in the midst of feeling nauseous, you just tell him, no, you're the one dying. You're passing away. I'm here to stay until I'm done. Then when I'm done, I'll go. After I've crushed you, done what I needed to do, then I'll go out of here in a blaze of glory. Is that how we're going out of here? Somebody say, I'm going out of here in a blaze of glory. Hallelujah. Now notice chapter 3, this Antichrist spirit. Verse 13, he says, do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. Notice, how do we know we're saved? We love the brethren. How many people love their church? How many people love their pastor? Come on. Give it up for your pastor, please. I don't receive praise from men, but once in a while it's nice to hear it. Yeah. We love one another. See, because you have love for one another, that's how they know you're my disciples. We know we're saved. How do we know we're saved? Well, I answered the altar call, didn't I? I was baptized. Well, thank God for that. But you've passed from death to life. You know that because you love the brethren. You got love for the brethren. Now listen, if that love begins to slip, that's a serious thing. That's not something to take lightly. Well, I just don't like no hypocrites down at that church. Ooh. I don't know. I just think we could have church in our kitchen. I don't have to go anywhere to have church. Ooh. So that's not a good indication of where you're at spiritually, is it? No, because he says, you know, you've passed from death to life because you love the brethren. We don't want to start passing from life to death by disliking the brethren, being offended at the brethren, being annoyed at the brethren. The brethren just bother me. You're slipping from life to death. Get back over here. Judge that. Get back in the light. And judge that. Never accept that kind of thing. That's the devil. He doesn't like the brethren. And then he'll get on you and say, I don't like them. They bother me. And then you think it's you. You think it's your feelings. You think it's your thoughts. And you start taking it. You start taking ownership of it. Yeah, I don't like them. I don't know what it is about them. Maybe I don't know what it is. You need to know what it is. It's the devil. He don't like the brethren. But I love the brethren. Why don't you say that? Now tell the devil, I love the brethren, devil. Amen. I can't blame him for not loving the brethren. He's in trouble, man. We're crushing him. We're his worst nightmare. So notice that there. Don't marvel if the world hates you. It's an amazing thing how the more you do right, or some people do right, the angrier and more full of hatred the world can become. It tells us right there, friend, you're never going to make everybody happy. You're not. Don't try to. Love doesn't try to make everybody happy. Love obeys the word. Love obeys God. Love follows him. Love follows the anointing. It's directed by the anointing, directed by the Spirit of God within. That's what love does. And you got to know, sometimes the more you do right, the more you're going to annoy people. See, and you got to know that, because sometimes you think, what's wrong with me? What am I doing wrong? People don't like me. The Apostle Paul said, he said, the more I love you, I think it's the book of Galatians. He said, the more I love you, the less I'm loved. The less I'm loved by you. I mean, the more he loved them, the more that bothered them. The more they saw Christ, the more that bothered them. Why? Because they're of an antichrist spirit. You're never going to make an antichrist spirit happy. So what do you got to do? You got to continue to just go forward and do the right thing. Follow God. Don't judge yourself based on other people's judgment of you. You judge yourself based on the Word of God and the anointing of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. And it's the two together. Because I've seen people say, well, I just don't feel led to do this, or I feel led to make this change or do this thing or do that thing. And I've told them, I said, now, wait a second. That's a violation of the Word. I'll give them 10 scriptures. I'll show you. Now, by you doing that, that can't be God, because look, I got 10 scriptures here that show that you're violating. Well, it doesn't matter. I know God's leading me. Well, no. That leading within must be in line with the Word of God. And if we're in direct violation of the Word of God in our so-called leading, then we're not being led by the Spirit of God. We're not being led by the love of God. We're not following the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And I think folks miss it because the soul and the spirit are so closely woven together. The soul is that emotional part of us, and it's eternal, and it's in us. So many times people mistaken that for our spirit that is eternal and that is in us and one with the Holy Spirit. So the only way you can really know true love and a true leading of the Holy Spirit is you've got to know the truth. You got to know the truth. You got to know the Word of God. Can you say amen? The only way to tell what is true love is to love the truth. You got to come back to the truth to understand what true love is. Can you say amen? Quickly, let's close 1 John chapter 4. Verse 3, it says, every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh or has manifested in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. Notice that there. Every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, or Jesus the Christ, the anointed one, his anointed has come in the flesh or manifests in the flesh, is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Hallelujah. No matter what's going on in the world, the greater one's on the inside of you. Someone say, the greater one's in me. Oh, hallelujah. Aren't you glad? The love of God has been poured out into my heart. I've been anointed with the love of God. I'm going to let that love lead me and guide me through everything in life. Hallelujah. Come on, stand on your feet with me. Let's thank the Lord.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.